of God, what they should do, what they should not do, when they should do it, and when they shouldn't do it. The law. And the law was very hard to follow. You know, the Lord tell us the law when we're driving in the car. In our car, it says you should only go 60 miles per hour in this zone, right? But many of us break the law in that simple way. I should say I do. Sometimes in a 30-mile zone, I'm going 45 miles per hour because I said, why am I going so slow? So laws are hard, easier to break, not to keep, you see. I know all of you, you drive the speed limit, don't you? Not me. If I'm on 495, I'm not doing, trust me. All right, I'm heading to White Plains. I'm moving. My feet is moving. So we do that, not thinking. So the laws were hard, was easy for them to break because you're human beings just like us. And so God would say to Jeremiah, I'm going to make a new covenant. And in this covenant, he says, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord. For they shall know me from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. That he was going to put their law, his law in their hearts. And what God was saying, I'm going to work with the heart of humanity. Your heart and my heart. It's going to build a relationship that is not going to be based on law, but it's going to be based on a heart that is open to receive God. A heart that will accept Christ, love Christ, and follow Christ. That would be the new covenant. And the one who would have to make this new covenant that God chose to make it through would be Jesus Christ. He would be the one who would bring this new covenant into the world. The one who would allow any of us who so choose to accept him as our Lord and Savior. So here goes the dilemma now for the people of Israel, the Jewish people. They were really locked out from entering to the Holy of Holies by themselves. Part of their structure was that only the priest, the high priest, could enter the Holy of Holies. The people would come to worship, and only the high priest would bring their sins and ask for forgiveness. And those sins would be put on this ark, where the Spirit of the Lord exists, and they would take their sins they had committed throughout the holy year and give it to the high priest, and that high priest would then have to be holy and righteous and unblemished. That high priest would have to be perfect. That means that high priest could not be sinning or doing anything wrong. Because if that high priest did, that high priest would die. Because what would happen is, and I'll just give you a little understanding, they would put a piece of cord around the high priest's toe, and they would enter into the Holy of, and they'd have to do all the bathing rituals and be clean for a certain number of days. And Jewish people are still doing that. I don't know if they're still putting the cord, but they have to do the bathing rituals to cleanse themselves, all under law. And then the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, where they would be bringing this to the Lord behind the curtain. And if they were not unblemished, or not unblemished in the sense of not a spot, I think they had to even not have, Leviticus talk about not having any blemishes, but certainly it had to be spiritually holy, then they would die in there. So if you're in there, like say I'm the high priest and I go in, and poor me, I'd probably go in the first time and I wouldn't come back out. You'd always have to pull me out, right? What would happen is they wouldn't see the priest and they would have to pull them out by that long cord because they could not go before the Lord for whatever reason. They would die there and nobody would go in to get them. That's how complicated it was before Christ, right? But that's how complicated. And these priests, with all their Levitical priests, and they come out of the lineage of Aaron, they were called to be priests. And they could only be priests, right? They couldn't have any other jobs. That's why you bring your tithes and offering into the storehouse, the Bible says, so you could take care of the priests and the work of the church, because they would have, that's where the word priest would come from, those high priests. And the high priest was the one at the top who would bring this in. Very complicated. The Jewish people, then, they desired so much to be able to talk to God. But you couldn't just walk up and go talk to God. You couldn't just go in and say, you know, today, like we'll get up in the morning, we come here for prayer, and if somebody's passing by, you know, I in the mornings, I come in for prayer, I see the men outside, sitting outside, they come early, a couple of the guys for the pantry come early, and I always invite them in. I haven't got them into the sanctuary yet, but I do. I says, could you just come inside, it's cold, come and stay with Zamzam, we've been working on it. And they won't come in, they'll sit in the narthex, but they won't come in here. But the idea is they didn't have to prepare themselves. I could invite them in here, and they could come on in and sit and speak to God for themselves. They didn't have to be prepared. They didn't have to be special. The Bible says from the greatest to the least could be welcome under this new covenant. And so that was not a gift to the Jewish people at that time. They would have to go through the high priest. And the high priest, they would die because they were men, human beings like us. And something wonderful would happen. God loved us so. It is all out of God's great love for humanity. God says, I'm going to come up with another plan. And under this plan, I'm going to have a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And the order of Melchizedek was that Melchizedek shows up three times in the Bible, in Genesis, in Psalms, and in Hebrew. And he was an high priest that nobody knows where he was born from. God ordained him, or God, you know, he became one called by God, but he was a king and a priest. He was a king of Salem, and he's a priest. So not only, which was something completely different from the Jewish people, they now had a priest and a king in one person. Never happened before. David, King David, was a king. He could only rule over the kingdom. And then Aaron was a priest, and the other Levitical priest. Nobody had both jobs. You couldn't be king and priest again. You couldn't be reigning over the kingdom and be a priest. But Melchizedek was that. He was king and priest. And he would be a priest eternal. And so God says, I am going to send a new one, a new person, in the person of Jesus, and he would be king and priest. And here's what Jesus is going to do for you and me. The way the temple was set up, the Holy of Holies was separated from the people with a huge curtain that nobody could get behind it. You couldn't have access. You couldn't just walk and kneel down here. But Jesus would come as a true high priest, the eternal high priest. And he would tear the curtains. That's what they say at Good Friday, that when he died on the cross, the curtain was torn, but it wasn't torn, it was a high curtain, it was torn from top to bottom. And what that meant for us, he opened up the throne room. He opened up the Holy of Holies, that every single one of us sitting here today can enter. Enter by ourselves and ask for forgiveness. We don't have to wait for a priest, a pastor, a minister, evangelist, whoever we think. We're Methodists, we don't have anybody confessing to us. When people say they want to confess with us, we start running. Methodist pastors, you want to do what? Confess, please. Tell it to Jesus. I'll help you pray to Jesus, because it's a part of our training. Yes, we listen to people and they could talk to us, but it was that priestly function was open up that I could go in, you can go in, and yes, you come to speak to your pastor, and we look at scriptures together, and if you're going through something, there's a place to counsel and talk. But you don't have to go to a pastor for confession, right? You have the ability and the access to the throne of God to ask for confession for yourself, all by yourself, because of the work of Jesus Christ, right? And so this, the Hebrew writer would tell us that here's the deal. The throne room was open. You can freely enter the throne room because of Jesus. Not only was he then the high priest, because he could forgive sins. When he died on the cross, he became the one who could forgive the sins of the entire world. So not only can we ask that he would sit on the right hand of God, And he makes intercessions for you and me. That we could pray to Jesus. And he would ask the Lord to have mercy upon him to forgive us. All right, because he sits on the right hand of God and he's there forever and ever and ever. And he's king because he rules over the kingdom of the earth. Heaven and earth is his kingdom. And that relationship would be developed for you and for me. Because he would love us so much. So now, therefore, this high priest gave us what? Jesus Christ, the true high priest, gave us access. Complete access to the presence of God. Isn't that amazing for us? Jesus Christ gave us complete access to the presence of God. No one is excluded. No status. No class. No economic status. No color. No creed. No sex. No who lives on one side of the track. Who lives on the other side of the track. Who comes speak this language. Who speak the other language. There's somebody now praying to God in a little village right in Africa. There's somebody in Appalachia who could go pray to the same God. I have access to go into God. There's someone right here on Long Island who have access to go to God because of this opening of the Holy of Holies by Jesus Christ. That we could go in freely. We ask for no permission to go in to speak to God because of this new covenant and this high priest. And then Jesus would say to them, as he speak to them in the gospel, he says, you know, he was asking the Lord, do I have to go through this? That's what he was, do I have to go through this? He knew that he had to suffer. And then he would remember you and me. There's a little song that says, when Jesus was on the cross, he had you on his mind. He had me on his mind. That's why the cup didn't pass. He says, yes, I have come to die, and I will die for my people. And so I want to make a quick comparison to let you understand how important it is. I said earlier that with the Roman Catholic Church, you know, we are all one. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our theology is the same. Folks may think otherwise. We believe in the triune relationship of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. We believe in that. You know, structurally we don't have popes and nuns and so on, but that's all polity and structure. But theologically we believe in that. We don't have saints. That's not, we believe everybody who accept Christ as our Lord and Savior are saints. They've accepted God. We don't, you know, edify saints and so on. But we believe basically in the same thing. Except for them, they kept a part of this structure wherein you have to go to confession. It's one of their sacraments, penance. If there's any former Roman Catholic here, it's one of their sacraments that they go to confession to speak to a priest. Even though they're Christians, they're not Jews, that piece of the liturgy is kept. And for most Roman Catholic, they will go to confession, or they'll say to you, I haven't been to confession in so long. You know that, right? And the Roman Catholics know, they go in and they say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, I went gambling down the street, or whatever we do, you know. Or I shop too much. Whatever it is, they have to go in and tell. That's a piece of that comes out of that Old Testament section of the Bible that is still remains in their understanding. For us who are New Testament Methodist Protestant churches, we don't believe you have to do that. We believe that everyone has free access to the throne of grace and mercy. And that is open all the time to all of us. At any time, in any place. And we go boldly to the throne of grace and mercy. We go in reverence, yes? We go in reverence to God, but we can go boldly. We could go in our seats. We could talk to God as we're sitting here. We could talk to God in standing. We talk to God in kneeling. We talk to God in our house because Jesus Christ made it possible for you and me. What a great gift he gave us. What a great gift he gave each and every one of us, that we could call on him at any time. And so that's the idea of the Melchizedek. He is a ruler. He's a king. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. conquering line of Judah, king forever. He reigns, he reigns. And we sing that song, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. That's what God was talking about in that covenant. That I'm going to have a relationship that is going to be in your heart. That it's up to you and I to accept him as our Lord and Savior and to follow him. And we each know our relationship, which is in our heart, through Jesus Christ because of that. Amen.
Amen.
Because of that, we don't have to go to anyone. My relationship with the Lord may be wider open because I'm a pastor, I talk about it. But you all have your own relationship with God. A heart connection, do you see? It's a heart connection from you to God. Talk to him anytime and he'll listen. He says, call on me and I'll answer and I'll show you a new and mighty thing. You could come and pray to him at every time. He became accessible to us. We have access to his throne. Isn't that amazing? You could be at a hospital and you could have access to him. And as I close, I will tell you, I told the Bible study, I think Zamzam might have been there, I told the Bible study, maybe my Bible study folks were there, that the young man who was sick here, Winnie, he was operated on. They took out his gallbladder because that it was damaged. Anyhow, he was in the operating room and recovery. You know, after you operate, they put you in a car. He was there for a while, and I was there with the family, with his wife and daughter. And then I said, I was waiting, and she went in to see him to talk. And they says, oh, you got to wait for over an hour because you have to come out of the anesthesia. Doctors know that we're here. You have to come out, and it takes a while. And so I'm waiting. And then I said, finally, because it was like 7:30, I says, when am I going to get in? I'd like to go in. But I was sitting with a little girl. And she said, and the lady says, well, you know, you can't bring the little girl in because he's in recovery. You know, nurses, you all know, they have all the tubes and people just coming out. So then I text the wife and I says, can you come now so I could get a few minutes in? And, you know, I had on my collar, I know they'd let the pastor in. So I got down there and they let me in and she took the little girl and I went in. And everybody's on, you know, people are all in their little cubicles, you know, when you come out of recovery. And I'm looking around, and the doctors are in their scrub, and I'm figuring, oh, you're going to be bold. You're going to pray in here. And you're going to pray out loud. I could just see them coming for me. So I thought, I got to call on the name of Jesus. That's the access we all have. Right? You all done it, right? So I went over to the bed, and the nurse was there standing, and two nurses, and he was wrapped up to his neck because he had been shivering. I guess he was so cold. And I says, Winnie, it's Pastor Nunes. And I said, he says, thank you for coming. And I looked at the nurse and I thought, nothing has ever stopped you before. You might as well go and say. I says, I'm going to pray now. Looked at the two nurses. And one of the nurses bowed her head because she figured that's why I came in. And so even though I was kind of, my pride was coming in, maybe I shouldn't do that here. I went up and the Holy Spirit took over and I laid my hands in his head and I started praying. Out loud, I says, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to touch him and heal him. And I thank you. And everybody is now looking. But that you could hear my voice. And they're kind of looking up because, you know, I forget that my voice is loud, as you all know. Oh, shush you. And I began. And so I'm telling you this. I felt and knew that I had access to God there. I didn't need to go anywhere. I didn't say I had to go run to the chapel. Right? I just started to pray. And I says, I pray you'll touch him and heal him and raise him up, Lord. And I says, I pray for every nurse and doctor here that you'll bless them and every person in this room. Sometimes, you know, we get sometimes when we start praying, we forget that we should stop. Right? And I started, you know, we forget sometimes because we get caught
Nobody
up in it.
Nobody can stop you.
Right? Shush. And so I'm praying. And then all of a sudden I realized, okay, and I says, amen. And I looked up, and the eyes were just looking at me, and I says, God bless you all. I says, I'm going to leave it now. And I started going to one door, and I was holding my head down. I almost went to the other. The doctor came over and says, you're going to the wrong door. Let me take you. But the idea of the concept was, I knew that I had access to God. You have access to God. I didn't have to go anywhere else. Right? To go pray for him. He's doing better. He's out now. Through God's grace and all the people who are praying for him. I just wanted to use that as a demonstration that we have access to the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of his great love, the curtains were open. Amen.
Amen.
And so we stand and we sing a song and worship to the Lord. I forgot the song, but Zam Zam.
You are saying, Pastor, glorify thy name.
In the black hymnal.